This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's cool.
Yeah, the RCP average, Charles, is just 2 points now, the latest polls separating Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And you look at that gender gap, which we have talked about many times on the panel, with women and men and the two candidates, how they identify with both of those in the polls. What do you look at as this race starts to firm up?
Well, I do think that the historic factor is very much minimized and muted. It'll probably last for an hour or two tonight. But after all, she's essentially been running for 16 years. She was expected to be the nominee in 2008. She was going to be coronated this time around, so it's actually a delayed feeling. And considering that we had the first African-American, which I think was a far more improbable proposition 8 years ago, this is less of a reverberating event. And the fact is, I think, as Susan said, Democrats are worried and should be worried simply because you can't use the usual playbook against Donald Trump. Democrats know how to run against conservatives. They don't know how to run against the populist, who is unexpected, unpredictable, and can do anything. And that's why I think that they have this nervousness, particularly given her liabilities, and she's been unable to shake, you know, a 74-year-old socialist who, I should add, honeymooned in the Soviet Union until now, which is quite remarkable.
Part. Well, interesting insight, huh? The Democrats don't know how to run against conservatives. I'm not even sure conservatives know how to run against, you said Democrats know how to run against conservatives. They don't know how to run against Trump. No doubt, Trump is such an anomaly that, 17 other guys couldn't figure out, and women couldn't figure out how to run against Trump, right? Well, so are you a bit surprised here?
Well, to be fair, at the same time, Republicans don't know how to support Trump, because every time last week he finally got people behind him, started to come behind him and fall in line, and then he had the instance with the judge.
Right.
To where everybody's like, whoa, hold on now. So.
Yeah, and Lindsey Graham coming back and saying, I'm going to unendorse. I mean, this unendorsement movement. Come on. There's more to this. I mean, as we talked with, Megan Barth, and I know that, I think that was probably the first time we disagreed on it. And that's okay. I mean, we don't need everybody to agree. Here, I mean, this is the reason why we want their perspective. We need to have this conversation to really get down to the matter. I mean, whether it's you're talking about Muslims or talking about black issues or whatever, I mean, everybody has their perspective here. So let's get down to the truth. I mean, that's what we're trying to pursue here is that, okay, is this, in fact, a political, issue? Is there politics in there? I mean, before Trump brought this up, did people know about the legal firm that was behind all this? Do they know? Have they really looked into the roots of Judge Curiel? He was born in Indiana. Yes, he's American, but can we appreciate that he has a perspective that could prejudice his actions? And Trump is there. He's the one that's taken the hit, and he says, hey, this seems a little unfair here, and that's the way we interpret it. And, others say, well, he's being a racist. I don't know. I think that's yet to be decided. But I think that's the leap. And to your point, Scott, I think it's unfortunate that you had so many Republicans, including and this is the other thing relevant to the timing and that coming out against Trump. It's like, wait a minute. You're just shooting your standard bearer in the foot. Does that make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense to shoot the guy holding the flag in the foot.
Last time I checked.
Yeah. The ball's in Trump's court, really, as far as that goes. He needs to, again, eventually you have to play the game. Eventually you have to start politicking.
Right.
And The easiest place for him to do that is with the Republicans.
And understand it's an 8-second soundbite world in which we live in. This is Bill Martinez. We've got more to talk about. Stay with us, America, just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas. Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Thank you for joining the good fight to do what it takes to get this country back on track. Our liberties, our Constitution, everything that we've grown up with and come to know, at least most of us anyway, before progressives came in and started to rewrite history and prejudice and alter the perspective of this up-and-coming generation. But I think they're figuring it out. They're starting to realize that there is, there's some fish that's afoul and smelling. I say go with your instincts. I think you're right. Michael Loftus is with us. He's one of the busiest national performer writers in comedy today, host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus on TV and The Loftus Party on radio. Michael, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Crazy night last night in California.
I know, huh? What did you think? We had a bit of a semi-coronation that was kind of set up by the AP. I thought that was really interesting, the way they interjected themselves 2 days before the primary. And as expected, you get Bernie Sanders. You know, all of a sudden the numbers get obliterated. He gets absolutely thumped in California. And tell me AP didn't have anything to do with that.
Oh, yeah, that was... When you talk about a coronation, that's exactly right, Andy. Mm. That graphic was made days and days and days ago, and it worked. That's the really, really frightening thing about it, is they had a game plan, they stuck to it, and it worked. She thumped him last night.
Well, and you wonder, this is all, for the primary, and, all these shenanigans... I don't know how this unifies the party. I mean, if the Bernie followers really get a grip and understanding, because Bernie did not mention much, if anything, about this AP manipulation and the way this primary was juiced. But if his followers really get a grip of what happened to them, what just happened, I mean, I think they're kind of in shock going, wait a minute, we're neck and neck. We're within 2 points, the margin of error here. And all of a sudden, we get thumped. What happened? Well, the only thing that happened, ladies and gentlemen, was the AP announcement.
Yeah, the Hillary Clinton machine was unleashed.
Exactly.
The power of her robot army is so powerful. She just turned it. It's like the Eye of Sauron in that Lord of the Rings movie.
Yes, exactly. Right.
She focused that eye on Bernie Sanders for a heartbeat, and boom, shut him down.
And then talked about what a great competitor he was, and she seems so gracious and all that positive stuff.
Huh? She is an accomplished liar, and her speech, like, super effective. That message, dude, I was at, like, this little comedy debate last night. These guys put it on. They're trying to make this into a full-time thing. So it was myself and Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks is a comedian. He's on a Disney show. A very, very liberal guy. We're on stage, and like right down in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and it's a totally liberal crowd.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, you guys, you realize that the L.A. Times refuses to print an op-ed letter if it doesn't agree with global warming, and mm-hmm. they applaud it. And I'm
really?
Like, you realize you're applauding the end of free speech. You're, right. you're applauding the end of science, mm-hmm. and they applaud it.
Yes.
I mean, so they are way far gone here.
Well, you know, this is scary stuff, Michael, and I know, you know, when you're, you know, part of comedy is you take a look at the edges. And when the edges are getting so stretched out that it's disconnected from reality, when does it stop being comedy? I mean, it's almost like you start entering into the era of Lenny Bruce a little bit, you know?
Oh, we're there. There's going to be a field day. There's going to be a feeding frenzy with comedians on what you can and cannot say. Boy, I wish we had George Carlin right now, but somebody else is going to have to pick up that mantle. Here's the good news. When talking about the economy and jobs, and a lot of these people, they really think that the government, these voters in California, they think that the federal government is some private company that has an endless supply of money.
Exactly.
And when you remind them that it's our money and the government just moves it around and the government mm-hmm. cannot create a job, I crushed the place. They actually get that. They actually mm-hmm. are starting to understand that the one thing conservatives know is how to make jobs, and that's to get big government out of the way. And I tell you mm-hmm. what, Trump just has to stay on that and stay on that and never let up.
Well, and that's the deal. It's been a bit of a challenge, you know, this past week, a time when he has been the presumptive, nominee for the GOP. I think he missed on some opportunity to talk about these issues and to really have the stage to himself. But then, you know, we bring the judge in, we got all these other things, and it's like, you know, I was talking, as mentioned earlier, I've been meeting with a Trump insider, and I said, why doesn't he get an operative? You know, let somebody else, you know, attack. Put an attack dog on that. Let somebody else be a spokesperson. He's got a couple of spokeswomen that I think are just outstanding that are doing a great job. But, you know, this issue on the judge for him going head-to-head, I mean, this is Trump. Trump's a, you know, for all intent and purposes, a self-made guy. He stands out. And, hey, when you raise your head like that, you become an easier target, don't you?
Yeah, I think we have to brand Trump as a modern day Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, really, huh?
Exactly. He picks himself up by his bootstraps and gets things done. And I tell you what, and for any GOP guy like Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan, I tell you what, those guys by those guys steering into the whole racist thing, that I tell you what, there's no pot of gold at the end of that rainbow.
Well,
you're just doing their work for them.
Yeah, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up because it was rather inopportune. It was unartful even on their part, and this is the challenge with all this stuff. And I think this just tells you and exposes the discrepancy within the Republican Party, and you know that they're so quick to run to moderation. I mean, and I was thinking on the other hand, if Hillary had done this, what would they have done? I mean, in a sense, she's got her own thing going on with the emails, and every day, you know, it's this slow drip, torturous exposure of what she's done with the emails, how she's misrepresented we the people. And, I mean, you know, she's covered. I mean, you don't hear Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming in and claiming anything lacking in ethics or anything that would question. She's their gal. They're all in, and, you know, the Republicans, I mean, you know, it's like, what can we do to excommunicate you and defrock you? And this is going to be a two-day process. I mean, look at even the State Department, you know, yesterday announced that in order for them to go through all these documents and everything for Hillary Clinton and to really look back on it, they're saying it's going to take them 75 years.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, they're going to find some way to try to stretch this out.
And we'll be voting for Chelsea by then, or maybe
right.
or Chelsea's daughter.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Hillary, that was a lovely jacket that she wore, like the $12,000 jacket.
Don't you like that?
In a quality speech.
Yeah. She's Eva Perón all of a sudden, huh?
Yeah. Don't cry for me, America.
California.
Don't cry for me, California.
Yeah, exactly. Well, California, like you say, is scheming. But if the Bernie Sanders supporters figure out how they got worked and how it got juiced last night, oh, Lord, get ready. Michael Altus, I'm Bill Martinez.
So fast, it'll make your head spin.
You got it. Michael, always good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 after.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. With summer in full swing, now's the time to refresh outdoor space for hangouts. All too often, renovations and decorating can be intimidating. Here's some tips to tackle backyard projects.
We love spending summer nights with family and friends. And whether we're barbecuing or just relaxing, if the weather's good, we're on the porch. To get your summer ready, give the wood a fresh coat of weather-resistant paint and install string lights to keep the party going after the sun goes down.
I like to use perennial plants for a pop of color because they look just as good as annuals, but they last longer. And whenever we shop at wholesale clubs and grocery stores for our backyard projects, we use our Bank America Cash Rewards credit card, and we earn 2% cash back. Even better, we can also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 and combine grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Getting America back on track.
The face of the nation.
You guys crack me up.
Bill Martinez live.
You ready?
Ready or not, here we are, America, 19 after the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining in these 280 affiliated markets that we're in. Also on your smartphone, and you can also, as the big voice said, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And by the way, don't forget to send me an email if you want to be in the running for the Young Messiah DVD Blu-ray disc that we are giving away. We've got a plethora of them, so I'd love to send one to you. All you have to do is send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me, hey, Martinez, put me in the running. I want to be in the hoppa because I want a shot at it, and we'll give you a big shot. And make sure you include your address as well. That will be most helpful because we're going to think positive and make sure that you are on the mailing list for that free DVD Blu-ray of The Young Messiah. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking with Cyrus Narasta, who is the director of the movie. Good fun. So that'll all be coming up. But right now, I want to talk about a story here that is a bit heart-wrenching, to say the least. Whenever you have the passing of a child, it's just, you know, what can you say? It's just such a heartbreak. Well, such is the story that is part of Patty Wachowicz's life, who lost her daughter, Kimberly Coffey, to Group B meningococcal disease, also known as MenB, at the age of 17, just 3 days before her senior prom and high school graduation. As a nurse, Patty was vigilant in having Kimberly vaccinated. She had the common misconception that the meningococcal vaccine, known as MCV4, is available, that was available at that time, fully protected her daughter, when in fact it didn't protect her against MenB. One day Kim was healthy, and the next day she was in ICU fighting for her life, despite a quick diagnosis and aggressive treatment. Following the tragic loss of her daughter, Patty founded the Kimberly Coffey Foundation to educate parents about the dangers of MenB and the importance of vaccination against it. And she wants to ensure that no parent or person ever has to go through what she and her daughter did. Patty, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. I am so sorry for your loss. Sometimes, you know, like it says, you know, there's nothing to be said, but just know that I can give you an electronic radio hug and tell you that I want to come alongside your efforts here on behalf of your daughter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, as the executive director of the Kimberly Coffey Foundation, you're responsible for conducting a nationwide poll of what parents understand about meningococcal disease. What did you discover?
Well, the Kimberly Coffey Foundation teamed up with Pfizer, and we conducted a Harris Poll survey nationwide to find out what parents know about meningococcal disease and the vaccines that are available to prevent it. Mm-hmm. And one of the results that we found out were that 81% of parents do not know that there are two different types of meningococcal vaccines, mm-hmm. one that protects against four of the five key types and one that protects against type B or meningitis B, which mm-hmm. is a relatively new vaccine as of late 2014. My daughter Kimberly did not have the opportunity to be vaccinated with meningitis B vaccine because it wasn't available at the time.
Exactly. Well, for you, as you say, one day she's healthy, next day she's sick. And
yeah.
That fast. That had to be incredible for you. What do you remember about that day?
She came home from high school one day just telling me, Mom, I have body aches. Everything hurts me. And then I took her temperature and it was 101. It seemed to us, she and I both, that she had the flu.
Uh-huh.
But within hours, her symptoms really got very worse, and I had to take her to the hospital, to the emergency room. And the emergency room doctor told me that she suspected Kim had bacterial meningitis, and I just said, no, that can't possibly be true. She's been vaccinated for meningococcal disease.
Right. And here you are. You're a nurse. All this is all in your field of expertise.
Right.
And so this is a round peg in a square hole suddenly. This doesn't make sense. You know, she's been vaccinated and all this, right?
Right. Made no sense to me. But mm-hmm. as I later found out, that the vaccine only protected her against four of the five key types of meningococcal disease and did not protect her against MenB. And that was the reason for doing the survey with mm-hmm. Pfizer and the Kimberly Coffey Foundation to find out what parents really know about this so that we can spread more awareness and people know that this can be prevented by vaccination.
And this is what the Kimberly Coffey Foundation is all about, is spreading awareness and educating the public as to what's going on. And of course, along with that, even educating, as you say, the people that can make a difference and do something about MenB vaccine. I mean, it's amazing to think that in the modern era that MenB would not have been considered. Why was that so overlooked? How did we miss that?
Oh, that's a really great question, and I'm sure that Dr. Chung can answer that for you.
Well, Dr. Chung, yes, go ahead. Dr. Chung, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So, meningococcal infection is a complicated thing. It's an invasive bacterial infection that can affect the lining around the brain and spinal cord. And there are five key types. And, you know, as Patty alluded to, for many years we've had vaccine against four of the five key types, but not type B, until just about a year and a half ago. And so the landscape has shifted in terms of what I, as a healthcare provider, can offer to patients and their families from when Kimberly got sick to now, which is why we're kind of here to raise awareness, make sure that parents and teens realize that things are different now, that there is this added protection against type B that's available. There is a website that we also point parents to, stopmenb.com, menb.com, that has information about the survey, about the different types of this bacteria, because it can be confusing, but it is something that parents and teens should become familiar with and then have a good conversation with their healthcare provider.
Exactly. Dr. Richard Chung is the director of adolescent medicine at Duke University. Dr. Chung, one follow-up question. You know, Patty was talking about the symptoms that seemed very flu-like, but what symptoms do we need to really be mindful of? I mean, in this case, she's a nurse. She realized things aren't getting better; it's getting worse. We need to get Kimberly to to the hospital. What symptoms should we be looking out for?
Well, early symptoms of meningococcal infection are very flu-like, you know, as Patty alluded to. So fever, headache, nausea, vomiting, and Patty did everything correct. I mean, she got her child to the doctor as quickly as really anyone could. And still with that, with appropriate treatment, it progressed and Kimberly passed away. And so certainly parents need to be aware of symptoms and they need to kind of have their antennas up for this. But I think because it can mimic things like flu and the common cold and things that are just much more common, it's really impractical to ask parents to make that distinction and to sort of discern, you know, what's what. And so it really should be more a conversation about preventing it altogether. Getting
exactly.
That vaccine, you know, well in advance so that when your child does get sick, you already know in the back of your mind, okay, they do have that protection. And so we don't have to worry about that, you know, possibility. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Exactly. Patty, this survey that you partnered with Pfizer, this national survey, for you, you know, going into it, you thought, okay, it'll be good to get, you know, to get this information. What was the big takeaway for you and what you want parents to pick up out of this survey?
The takeaway was that most parents the majority of parents do not know that there are two different types of vaccines that are needed in order to be fully protected against meningococcal disease. Not to have the false assumption that I did that my daughter was fully protected when in fact she really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, the main thing is that, you know, kids are coming home now from college. They're coming home for summer break. Now is the perfect time for the parents to talk to their child's health care provider about getting vaccinated for meningitis B.
Yeah.
Believe me, I wish I had had the chance to have my daughter vaccinated for MenB.
Oh, I bet you do. Dr. Chung, on that point, and in furthering the conversation, what do you recommend to parents of teens and young adults in talking to their doctor about ways to help protect against MenB?
Yeah, I think going into your doctor, getting that annual checkup, before going off to college, that's always a good idea. And I think coming prepared, you know, having a list of things that you want to talk about and including meningitis B on that list. Clarifying, you know, I know my kid got the meningitis vaccine years ago, but what does that exactly cover and what are we lacking and what can we get today? You know, being organized, having those questions in hand, very likely your healthcare provider will bring it up, but you don't want to necessarily assume that. So as a parent, as a teenager, going to the website, perhaps stopmenb.com, and getting some of that information organized and then coming prepared.
Well, Dr. Chung, thank you so much for coming on and giving us some more understanding and encouragement about how to be proactive about our health, especially as it relates to MenB. And Patty, again, we are so sorry for your loss, but thank you for all the good work that you're doing on behalf of the Kimberly Coffey Foundation.
This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Do you know someone whose life has been touched by cancer? With over 32 million patients worldwide, the impact of cancer can be felt in nearly every family. For the second year, actor Eric Stone Street is partnering with Bristol-Myers Squibb on Ready, Raise, Rise to educate Americans about immuno-oncology, a rapidly evolving area of research that seeks to harness the body's own immune system to help fight cancer. Eric Stone Street, actor and cancer research activist.
Too many families like mine have been touched by cancer. That's why it's important for everyone to be informed about advancements in cancer research like immuno-oncology. Join me, raise, and share a flag at ReadyRaiseRise.com today. It takes just 30 seconds, and you can honor a loved one touched by cancer and help raise awareness for cancer research. For each flag raised and shared, a donation from Bristol-Myers Squibb will be made to an advocacy group that you select.
Go to ReadyRaiseRise.com to raise and share your flag today. For more, visit ReadyRaiseRise.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Getting America back on track.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Wall.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday from 9 to 12 Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Bill Martinez live here with you at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Thomas Miller is with us, senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute, whose research areas include market-based alternatives to Obamacare and health insurance regulation. Tom, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good to be with you again.
Hey, I want to talk about, ruling from a federal judge that did a little bit of a slapdown on Obamacare. And it seems like politics is one thing, but, oh, my goodness, we have the inconvenience of the law getting in the way. What is going on here?
Yeah, this is actually not just a regular law, but it went to the constitutional power of Congress to determine when money can be spent through an appropriation. This lawsuit started about 2 years ago in July of 2014. It was brought by the House of Representatives as a entire body. There were some early questions about whether they have standing to sue that got resolved. In essence, the House was saying that one of the many things under Obamacare that might be stretching the bounds of illegality involved payments of what are called subsidies for cost-sharing reductions. These are actually the interim payments go out to insurers. It's to make up for their losses in having to meet another requirement, which is for people who buy certain types of plans. They're called silver plans. They fit a particular parameter on these Obamacare exchanges. If you're at a certain income level, you get some additional advantages. The normal cost sharing that you'd be subject to is reduced, both your out-of-pocket costs and also what's called the actuarial value of how much of what's covered actually gets paid by the insurer. So the insurers are required to provide that type of enhanced coverage for people, and there's different numbers on that. I won't go through the different income ranges and the amounts. But what happened was, the way the law was written, there wasn't any actual permanent appropriation to pay for this. Normally, the way this works in that situation is Congress has to agree to do it. Well, there have been a lot of disagreements between Republican Congress and the administration, and right. one was that they didn't actually ever agree to appropriate the money. There was even a budget request back in 2014 by the administration where they had to back up and change their stance asking for the money, and Congress turned it down, and there was even an exemption application to the budget sequester, which meant they were really appropriations. So the administration, as it's been wont to do, tried to change its legal story, say, well, we can find this money somewhere else. It must be appropriated to another provision, and they tried to say that there was authority under what are the premium subsidies. Again, there's a lot of lawsuits, a lot of claims of illegality. This is one that stuck because what the federal judge, Rosemary Collier, essentially said was, here's what the Constitution says. If you're going to appropriate money, Congress has to agree to do it. The executive branch doesn't have its own independent spending account. So she said this is illegal, and you can't make any more of these interim payments to the insurers because Congress hasn't agreed to spend the money. And that's where it stands right now. Now it's going to be appealed. Because she would have, her ruling would have enjoined any further such payments for these subsidies to the insurers. And there's other implications as to what this might mean for the future of insurers participating in the exchanges and how attractive that coverage would be. But that's where it is right now, where it's going to be appealed further up to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals and probably ultimately to the Supreme Court. So it'll take a couple of years for this to fully unwind. But it was a pretty clear rebuke by a federal judge saying that the administration's latest set of concocted legal arguments don't hold up. That ultimately you do have to actually agree, deal with another branch of government. You didn't have authority to do what you did.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. There is a constitution that's in play here. Tom, wasn't this addressed in part with a Supreme Court decision that Justice Roberts seemed to, you know, want to ignore, or am I forgetting something?
Well, this is the problem of all these different merging categories. That involved a different type of payment for the premium subsidies for certain exchanges if they were not state exchanges, if they were federal exchanges, whether that was authorized under the law. That was more a interpretation of what the law did say and didn't say. And that ruling, which came out about this time a year ago, said, yeah, we can make up the difference, and it was close enough for government work, and what they really meant to do was this. That was a different legal argument and a different issue. In this case, the federal judge was quite clear-cut. This wasn't a matter of, like, some ambiguously drafted statutory provision which had to be interpreted to save the overall purpose. This is just a straightforward thing. The law is clear as what it's doing. Congress has decided politically not to appropriate the money. It has the power to do that or not to do that. And that's the issue. This is the power of appropriation. This is different than the King v. Burwell issue a year ago, although it's somewhat of a similar trying to skirt the edges of what the law the Congress badly passed and trying to reinterpret. In this case, they ran right up against a constitutional provision which says it's pretty clear cut that Congress has to determine when it does or doesn't choose to spend money.
Well, what Obamacare did here, Tom, I mean, you and I would love this deal. You know, heads we win, tails you lose. Either way, you know, the insurers were going to be protected. And this was one of the things that was brought out in the argument against Obamacare. And, of course, the president insisted, you know, well, you don't want to go, you know, just ignore that. Just, you know, pass on, you know, look at what you're getting here, you know, on one hand. And then you got Nancy Pelosi on the other hand saying, well, we got to pass it to find out what's in it. And
that's
we're
right.
just so excited, right?
Yeah. This is part of the larger problem of how Congress occasionally passes laws and doesn't know what's in it or writes things in very broad language and gets filled in by a lot of regulations. What we don't know in this case is, and certainly this is, look, it's good that a federal court actually said the law is what the law says, the Constitution means something, and go ahead and make your political decisions, but you can't do it outside of those legal bounds. Now, down the road, if this decision holds up and ultimately it said you can't make these payments, it really goes back into the hands of Congress. I mean, we don't know who will be running Congress necessarily and how they'll feel about these things, whether they want to continue these payments or do them in a different way. It'll still ultimately be a political decision, but it won't be outside of the boundaries of accountable decision-making under the law.
Well, you know, that's you know, Mark went up for the good guys in terms of separation of powers in the Constitution, right, Tom?
That would be a beginning step. We got a lot of other problems, but we got to get the basics down first, which is that let's stay within the bounds of what you're legally authorized to do, and then go fight it out as to what you want to do. There's speculation that if this ruling held up, insurers would be a little more skeptical or cautious about what they're doing in participating in the exchanges. They might say, we're going to be exposed to all these potential losses. We might not get repaid. We're going to have to raise the premiums, or maybe we won't participate as fully as we otherwise would do. So it puts a little bit of a cloud on the terms in which they engage. That's a little speculative at this point, though, until we get a final ruling further on down the road.
Well, these insurers, Tom, they know the deal, you know, with the actuaries and what they're projecting and what their bottom line is looking like, and they see, you know, danger around the corner here. That America has been, you know, as much as they can, you know, read the Affordable Care Act, and that's just reading, you know, what 2,800 pages, not counting, I don't know, what's amounting to probably over 30,000 pages of regulation. Yep. I mean, my brain exploded, and I only got to page 5, you know, trying to read the Obamacare, just point counterpoint. It was just so doggone confusing, you know.
And particularly when the folks implementing this in the administration think of whatever Congress wrote is just a suggestion or starting point.
Right, exactly.
we'll work out the details from here. Thank you very much.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what do you make with these co-ops? I mean, we've lost almost all of them. We only got about 10% of the co-ops in some of these states that are still operable. And some of those don't look too good either.
Yeah, officially, I think the death count is 13 fully closed up out of the 24, but a lot of them are limping along, and as we get into the end of this year, looking ahead to the next year of open season, more of them will drop out along the way. They just don't have a sustainable business plan for multiple reasons. That's one of a number of failures in the way this law was set up, and that's a pretty dismal story.
Well, it's pretty bad that it seems to be... you know, the way it was designed, I mean, it was a hope and a prayer that somehow they'd be able to, I guess, fool Congress or coerce Congress to the point that they would violate the Constitution.
Yep.
And, you know, they could be able to live another day here. And they're barely hanging in there right now.
Correct. I mean, it was not a sustainable proposition. They ran up a lot of losses that didn't price relative to that, and they were counting on some additional payments, which turned out not to be there available for them.
Exactly. Tom Miller with the American Enterprise Institute on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Tom.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This report is brought to you by Alcon. June is Cataract Awareness Month. Do you know your cataract IQ? Cataracts are one of the most common eye health issues experienced as we age, a condition that clouds the eye's lens, blocking or changing how light passes into the eye. Millions of people over the age of 60 have cataracts, and it is the leading cause of blindness worldwide. To spread awareness about cataracts and importance of understanding treatment options, Alcon has launched the Know Your Cataract IQ campaign. A 2016 survey conducted by Alcon of approximately 1,000 adults age 60 and over who have been diagnosed but not treated for cataracts reported that only 25% of respondents said they have a full understanding of the condition. The results showed that while cataracts are not preventable, nearly half, 45%, of those surveyed did not know whether they are or are not, indicating that there is still a need for patients to talk to their doctor about the condition and best treatment options. To find out your cataract IQ and gain knowledge for you or a loved one, take the quiz at www.cataractiq.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products.
including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Ever wonder why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA Plus. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326. 305-8326.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Easy to work. Up antenna, switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, Cape and all, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, because I just have that kind of attitude, I'm telling you. 14, before the top of the hour, welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. Jules Boykoff is with us right now, former member of the U.S. Olympic soccer team, author, professor of politics and government at Pacific University of Oregon. Boykoff is one of the world's foremost experts on the Olympics, and he's written a new book called The Power Games, a political history of the Olympics. I mean, how much fun is that, Jules?
It's great fun. It was a terrifically fun book to write.
Well, and I got to imagine, with the recent passing of one Muhammad Ali, the memories, because as I was reading your book, I could not help but revisit in my mind, two events with Muhammad, actually several, if I want to, bring in the other one, but... first one, of course, was him winning the gold medal as a young kid, and then lighting the Olympic torch in Atlanta. And particularly the Olympic torch in Atlanta was so moving, again, to even look at the old video of that.
Absolutely. I mean, Muhammad Ali was an Olympic icon. Most of us first heard of him after he won the gold in Rome. And he also does us the favor of exploding the myth that's often proffered in Olympic circles that politics and sports don't mix. Muhammad Ali embraced the idea that politics absolutely mixed with sports, and he showed us that it took courage to stand up for what you believe in, but it can be done for sure.
Without a doubt. And of course, he goes on with his stellar career in boxing, slightly interrupted there. I was going to relate, this was in the L.A. Games. Muhammad Ali was walking into the arena, and as you know, in the boxing, there are three boxing venues that are taking place. It literally is a three-ring circus. Well, off in the distance, as Ali comes in, people are noticing Muhammad Ali walking in the building, and you start hearing the chant of Ali, Ali. And as he gets closer and closer to the center and closer to ringside, I mean, before you know it, all eyes, everybody is chanting Ali, Ali, all the way up to the point that he ends up sitting next to Howard Cosell, who is doing the commentary in one of the boxing venues. But it was just amazing how much oxygen he could suck out of a room just by walking into it.
Absolutely. Icon.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Jules, you know, a fun opportunity for you. I mean, here it is. You take two things, you know, that you're interested in, politics, the Olympics, being a former member of an Olympic soccer team yourself, and to be able to blend and see, in fact, that it's much more than sports when it comes to, you know, the whole Olympics games.
Well, it wasn't a smooth path, I must admit. I mean, back when I was 19 years old and playing for the U.S. Olympic soccer team, I did not realize that the Olympics were this incredible corporate juggernaut. I had no idea. I was just running up and down the field having fun. But my eyes were opened in a tournament that I played in France against Brazil, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, and the Soviet Union. By the way, that tells you how long ago it was. But in that tournament, we were perpetually booed by those in attendance, even against countries like Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union. So that kind of opened my 19-year-old eyes to see that there's much more going on with sports and the Olympics than is just what's happening on the field. And, you know, I guess you could say that this book, Power Games, that you mentioned is sort of the culmination of my exploration after thinking about that from the beginning at 19.
Well, at 19, your eyes are opened up, and I think that at various ages now, thanks to your book, people's eyes are going to be opened up. I mean, we've seen politics enter in. I mean, we go back, we know historically, you know, when you had the games in Germany and what Adolf Hitler was trying to do, and here he gets disappointed because you have a black athlete, you know, coming out on top of his Aryan race.
There was so much going on in the 1936 Olympics. First of all, Hitler really wasn't that interested in hosting the games. He had to be convinced by his propaganda chief, Goebbels, to actually host the Olympics. In fact, the idea of the torch relay, which has become what we do every time the Olympics come through town now, the torch relay was invented by Goebbels and company to take the torch around Germany and the surrounding areas to sort of spread the myth not only of Aryan supremacy, but also that the Olympics were this positive thing and that Germany was going to be linking up with them and get this sort of halo effect. So, yeah, there was a lot of myths that were exploded in 1936, including this notion, this ridiculous notion from Hitler that the Aryan race was superior, and Jesse Owens and company helped show the world that that was far, far from the truth.
And, of course, here in the United States, we have black protesters raising their hand as they're about to, you know, get their medals, and it caused a lot of outrage, but it demonstrated the times and what was going on with race relations here in the United States.
That's right, Bill. I mean, you're talking about the 1968 games in Mexico City when John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised their fists when they were on the medal stand collecting their medals for the 200-meter dash. Also, I would add that Peter Norman, who got the silver from Australia, stood in solidarity on the medal stand with an Olympic Project for Human Rights button pinned to his sweat jacket. And, yeah, that wasn't just a moment of Olympic history. It's an iconic moment from world history. And part of the fun of writing this book was I dug into the archives of people like the International Olympic Committee president at that time in 68, Avery Brundage, and I looked at letters that people had mailed him regarding that incident that you mentioned, and there were people who said, yes, that was really good of you, Brundage, to make sure that they got kicked out of the Olympic Village and sent home early, but there were many people who actually wrote in to say, you know what they did was right, and I totally support them, and I found a telegram from Jesse Jackson, who was working with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference at the time, inviting Tommy Smith, all expenses paid, to come talk to the group at his convenience. And, you know, the thing that I think really sticks out for your listeners here is that when athletes that are activists get further back in the rearview mirror of history, they all of a sudden become much more socially acceptable, whether it's Ali, whether it's Tommy Smith and John Carlos, or maybe some contemporary athletes. I think it should give us pause when we see athletes speaking out with courage and conviction today to not just immediately dismiss them and try to take that longer view of history as we consider their acts.
Well, and I think that America still deals in this 21st century, Jules, with trying to separate politics from sports. You know, we're uncomfortable. You know, we tune into sports. We want to watch a game. And then when the athletes want to get politically minded, it's a challenge to our psyche, isn't it?
I think you're right. I do think there's this tendency to just want to leave all the politics, stress, and strain behind. But, you know, I think, and I'm certainly not suggesting that all athletes become athlete activists, by no means. But I'm also suggesting that, you know, athletes need not check in their brains at the door. There are a number of really smart athletes who care about this world, and if they've had the time to think about it and they want to use their platform to get us to think about issues that they believe are important, I'm all in favor of that. I think it can thicken the dialogue around the key issues of our day.
Well, and I think it's also a bit tenuous because you got to be careful. Not everybody is a Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali paid a price. And, I mean, there's no doubt about it. John Carlos, who now Dr. John Carlos, the 1968 Olympic medal winner, and he wrote a praise for your book. He says, Jules Boykoff tells an Olympic history that simply hasn't been told. I mean, wow, what a powerful sentence right there, Jules.
Of course, it's a tremendous honor for me to have Dr. John Carlos write that about the book. But you raise a really key point, is that it's not as if these athletes speak out without consequence. There's all sorts of stress and strain that gets heaped upon them, and I think we need to remember that as well. And as we remember these important figures from history, Dr. Carlos is also still speaking out today about issues that matter to him, and he's a wonderful speaker. I encourage your listeners to check him out.
Exactly. Well, this is what we love about the First Amendment. And it's being challenged, and, you know, kudos for Dr. John paying the price and continuing to pay the price. And we need more courageous voices like his to speak against power and to speak against those things that are antithetical to what we all perceive in various cases, what the American dream is all about. I want to get up to date here with what's happening with the Rio Olympics. Speaking of protest, there's calls to cancel the Rio Olympics. Break that down for our audience.
Well, sure. So I lived in Rio de Janeiro from August through December of 2015 as a Fulbright research scholar as I was finishing this book. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult to find people who were excited about the Olympics at that time. As you know, the country of Brazil is getting pummeled by a sort of double whammy economic political crisis, and there's lots of serious issues that people are grappling with across the country. In Rio specifically, there have been calls to postpone the game, largely because of Zika virus that has serious effects. And while I don't mean to minimize at all the serious effects that it can have on people who are thinking about having kids, the people that I speak with in Rio, and I talk to people all the time, are kind of intrigued by the idea that we're focused so much on Zika. I was speaking to my friend the other day, and she said to me, wow, there's dengue, which is a much more serious issue right now in Rio. There's H1N1 virus that has killed scores of people, and so they're kind of intrigued. So Zika kind of isn't too high on the list. And the other thing I would say about Zika, you know, as we proceed toward the Olympics, less than 2 months away now, when you hear Zika, I hope you'll think about the everyday people of Rio, because a lot of times when we talk about Zika, what we're talking about is the sort of privileged tourist class that will be going to Rio, or we're talking about the amazing athletes. But what all too often gets lost in that discussion is the everyday person in Rio who was promised huge promises about water cleanup and other issues that would have absolutely curtailed the Zika to a certain extent.
Exactly.
So,
Well, Jules, as you touch on, and we're running out of time here, but the economic impact, you know, plus and minus of all these Olympics, I mean, it is amazing what these countries have to offer. And then you question whether or not it is prudent for Rio. But, hey, they're in at this point. You know, let the games go on. Jules Boykoff, former member of the U.S. Olympic soccer team, author and professor of politics and government at Pacific University.
Anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.